You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
If free money were the answer, if money really grew on trees, why not give more free money? Why not give it out all the time? Why stop at $600 a person? Why not $1,000? Why not $2,000? Maybe these new free money Republicans should join the Everybody Gets a Guaranteed Income Caucus. Why not $20,000 a year for everybody? Why not $30,000? If we can print up money with impunity, why not do it?
Senator Rand Paul from the Senate floor condemning the COVID relief bill, $900 billion, 6,000 pages, and he's not the only Republican making noise. Senators Marshall Blackburn of Tennessee, Cruz of Texas, Johnson, Wisconsin, Lee, Utah, Scott of Florida, all standing firmly against the bill. It's all been kind of bundled into a $1.4 trillion spending bill to avoid a government shutdown. And there's some really strange things in it, aside from the cost. We're going to need great detail later in this program, but let me give you a couple real quick. We see and hear all the time from the Democrats, no border wall. We don't need a border. We don't need to have any protection. And yet it includes up to $500 million in federal money to go to the country of Jordan to help enhance security along its borders. Yep, that's right. It also gives about $170 million to Vietnam, almost $200 million to Bangladesh. And I haven't gotten to some of the really good ones. Oh, you got to get this one in, $33 million, small, paltry amount, for democracy programs in Venezuela. And then there's money to be spent on genders and transgender assistance and horse races. You think I'm making all this up? We're going to get into it in a lot more detail. I'll give you one more before we move away from it. $65 million apparently might still be in it. I don't know if that's included in there or not. They were trying to do it. They would provide millions of dollars to six states and tribes. They call it the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery. You know, President Trump had said back in October last year, give me a clean bill, we'll pass it now, get money to the people now. That was going to be $1,200 versus $600 now, and plus help them at that point. It's going out now, maybe more folks are going to need it, but you know, generally, what the value of $600 is going to be. Now, for some, it might be that last piece of help they need, so I don't want to make fun of it, but for most, it's not going to change anything. Their business is failing. They don't have a job. They got utilities, rent, everything else, trying to get gas in the car. We're going to break it down in more detail for you. Now, we have a new death report confirmation coming out from the CDC confirming this has been the deadliest year in U.S. history. Deaths expected to top 3 million for the first time. And yes, they're putting it on the back of the coronavirus pandemic. At last report, if you believe the numbers, COVID has killed more than 318,000 Americans and counting. But you do need to keep in mind, we were exposed numerous times where they might have died with COVID, but not because of COVID. There clearly are too many times where we have someone who's sick or because of their age and they die and they're just labeling it COVID death. Why not? It scares the hell out of people. I do believe that many members of the public are beginning to wake up and say, you know, yeah, we need to do something, but how we're doing it and are we basically trying to frighten people and continuing lockdowns when we don't need them? And then there's a question about the vaccine. Some are complaining that Congress or members of essential workers, and they're getting the vaccine before many American citizens. James J. Carafano will be joining us, talking about China, the infiltration of spies throughout our country, as they continue to look for anything and any way they can get into our country, grab what they can, and take it back and use against us. Oh, and by the way, Sidney Powell, that's been blasted as a conspiracy theorist and so forth, seen coming out of the White House, and a reporter asked her, why are you here? And she said, none of your business. Some are wondering if she's going to be a special counsel appointed by Trump. We got a lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We believe that thanks to Operation Warp Speed and President Trump's leadership, we'll have enough vaccine coming into the marketplace that we could see late February, early March, some general vaccination programs, and then by the second quarter, enough vaccine for all Americans who want to take it.
That is the Health and Human Services Secretary, Alex Azar. Today, he rolled up his sleeve and received the first dose of Moderna's recently approved COVID-19 vaccine. Before he got it, six critical care workers got it at the National Institutes of Health. And Alex Azar was followed by Dr. Anthony Fauci, considered the nation's leading infectious disease expert, as well as the National Institutes of Health director and research director, and additional health care workers. And some are out there saying, well, when am I going to get mine? When? And I see members of Congress getting theirs already. Are they really essential? We'll come back to that in a moment. Now, getting the Moderna vaccine today means that in about 3 weeks, they each will have to have a second shot. That's the way that's gone down. And if you recall, Pence and Biden have gotten theirs, and they did the other shot at this point. There may be more yet to come. And we know there are various vaccines that are still in the pipeline and probably some changes. Part of it, of course, gets into mutation of the virus. I'm sure you've heard the story going around that there is a new strain apparently showing up in Europe, and apparently it's frightening enough to some that they're now going to say we're not going to allow, at least across Europe, we don't want any flights from the UK coming into Europe because they seem to think that's where it is. Now, we're getting different responses from different experts, which is not necessarily to be, well, I won't laugh at it. But again, I mean, it just brings more confusion because we don't really know. We're getting different answers. Some are saying this vaccine will be fine We expect it to mutate. Everything does on a regular basis, and it should be good enough. Should be good enough. And yet, in some countries across Europe, they're already talking about a lockdown through Easter. Through Easter. So we've got the COVID-19 vaccine being rolled out across the nation. There are protests already, as I said a moment ago, as to who's getting it and why and when. Because it's been more than a week since Pfizer and BioNTech companies started their vaccine. That's the one that Pence and Biden got. And thousands of frontline healthcare workers are said to have been inoculated. Others say the process has been kind of uncertain and kind of chaotic as to if they're going to get it or not. One is being quoted who's a frontline medical worker in an interview with Fox News saying, we still don't know when we're going to get it. There are video updates from the senior vice president or CEO each day, but there are people at the hospital getting it first who are not directly on the front lines. And others are saying, yeah, we got security guards, social workers, others in post-operation, they got it before frontline workers. I think this debate's going to continue. But then again, the other question is, are you going to get the vaccine? Will you take it when you have it, when you have it available? The whole idea of Biden and Harris getting it, of course, to try to encourage folks, yes, you should get the vaccine. We're taking it. It should be good for you. Not everyone is sold on that. And the campaign also has to continue. And there are some who say, I never get a flu shot, and I'm going to bother with this one. Of course, you need to make your own decision and are with your doctor. I had a conversation as to who gets the vaccine first over this last weekend. A woman was saying that she was very upset. She's saying, why? And I understand her point. She said, why are politicians getting it first? And I said, well, that's a good point. You could raise that every day if you want to say if they're essential workers or not. But then her bigger question was, why aren't we giving it to teachers first? To teachers. She said, the teachers cannot go back into school and are afraid to go back in school unless they have the vaccine. We've had that story come up out of Chicago, of course, it's Chicago Teachers Union insisting we're not going to go in until we get vaccinated. And of course, the transmission among kids, according to all the stats, that is very low. And the kids are not likely carriers and transmission unlikely. And yes, teachers could still stand at the front of the desk 10 feet away from all the kids with a mask on. That should be adequate. And it made me start thinking about, because the other day I made a flight and I looked at all the TSA workers in there. Now, how many people do you think they encounter on a normal shift? Now, of course, they got masked up. But they have numerous hundreds probably going past them in any one shift versus a teacher in a class of 30. Or if the classes rotate maybe four times a day, multiply it 120 or whatever you want. I'm not trying to say the teacher should not be on the line at some point, but I'm not sure we're doing this right anyway. And then you've got actual direct complaints coming in. In fact, Tulsi Gabbard, Congresswoman of Hawaii, she's been very upset as she's watching members of Congress get it before others. Here's her complaint.
Now they're recommending that 100 million so-called essential workers, they can get the vaccine before our grandparents can. That members of Congress like me, we can get the vaccine before at-risk seniors can. I had planned to take the vaccine, but will now stand in solidarity with our seniors by not doing so until they can.
All right, I understand her point. And yeah, if you hear that the seniors are going to be last in the line, it's been, there are various tiers that have been set up, but according to, and again, this is his position, Health and Human Service Secretary Alex Azar, Gabbard doesn't really understand how this is going down.
couple of fundamental mistakes in what she's saying. First, the CDC isn't telling the governors how to vaccinate or prioritize vaccinations. We have an independent advisory committee of experts that made prioritization recommendations, which the CDC sends out. But the governors make the call whom to prioritize. Secondly, they are saying they would encourage people age 75 and above to be prioritized, as well as critical frontline workers like emergency first responders who are most in harm's way. So it's going to be the governors that make the call on this.
So the governors, I guess, Tulsi Gabbard, you need to be focusing on them, like in your state of Hawaii. Now I want to take you back to something I mentioned at the beginning in the opening monologue. A new report from the CDC saying that this is going to be the deadliest year in U.S. history. Deaths expected to top 3 million for the first time. And yes, they quickly say it's because of the coronavirus pandemic. They're blaming about 318,000 Americans and counting on the death count for this year. The overall mortality rate fell a bit last year, and there were reductions in heart disease and cancer deaths, and that helped. Now they're saying, also reference flu. Let me take you back before I do that. Go back to 1918, because that was a major event for the nation as well. Tens of thousands of U.S. soldiers died in World War I. Hundreds of thousands of Americans died in a flu pandemic. And deaths up 46% that year compared with 1917. Of course, it's very obvious as to why that was. And now, again, they're saying COVID has killed 318,000 Americans this time around. And keep in mind, the virus at first surfaced, identified, we should say, in China, and the first cases reported this year. There are those who believe that we had it in our system, or should say in our nation, before we were aware of it in January or so. But when you start throwing all these death counts together, it works for those who want you to believe you got to be locked down and it's scary everywhere. There are deaths that you could say, yeah, they're COVID-related, but they actually have nothing directly to do with COVID. That would be suicide. Suicide deaths are up. And also, we also have drug overdose, whether that is intentional or unintentional, generally. But they're also saying they believe the disruption in in-person treatment and recovery services might have been a factor. Are those taking drugs without the benefit of a friend or family who can call 911? And they also say COVID has caused a supply problem for dealers. So they're mixing cheap and deadly fentanyl into heroin and cocaine. They were doing that previously. But now, again, let's all blame it on COVID. They are also pointing out that COVID, they are now listing, and because they're listing deaths this way, as a third leading cause of death, behind only heart disease and cancer, and saying for certain periods this year, COVID was the number one killer. But I remind you that yesterday, in case you missed it, we had a report from a Colorado mortician who said, you're blaming this on COVID, the person was shot. And we get them in and we find out they'd been treated or were having COVID symptoms, and they die. Let me give you a little bit of good news. The latest report by the National Institutes of Health dealing with pregnant women. They had data from almost 130 pregnant women. 64 had tested positive for SARS-CoV-2, and of that, 3% had critical disease, 16% severe disease, 11 moderate, 34 mild. None of the newborns tested positive for the virus. So they're pretty convinced right now that pregnant women are considered, of course, to be at increased risk for severe illness from COVID-19 compared to those who aren't. And they don't know for sure how it will affect babies from mothers of COVID-19, but they're looking at how SARS was treated. They think that's going to be at least one silver lining in the cloud. And, of course, then we have the way it's been treated by the media on a constant basis. Dr. Scott Atlas, former special advisor to Trump, in a Wall Street Journal report, op-ed, I should say, published today, and I'm going to quote from it, America has been paralyzed by death and fear for nearly a year. And the politicization of the pandemic has made things worse by adding misinformation to the mix. Vaccines finally being administered, we should be entering a joyous phase. Instead, we endure still more inflammatory rhetoric and media distortion. He also adds that all 50 states independently directed and implemented their own pandemic policies. He said nearly all states use the same draconian policies that people now insist on hardening, even though the number of positive cases increased while people's movements were constrained. Business activities limited, schools closed. He said governors in all but a few states have been wearing masks since early August. Which brings us to the issue of, after you get the vaccine, will you still need a mask? The Health and Human Services Director, Azar.
We are still studying some fundamental scientific questions, though, such as, once you've been vaccinated, do you still need to wear a mask to protect others? Could you still be carrying the virus even though you're protected from it? That's scientific work that's underway right now to get to the bottom of that, hopefully as soon as possible, because it's a critical question.
Yeah, a critical question. I mean, can we get rid of the mask if we get the vaccine? And it is true, you know, if you've had a polio vaccine or something like that, you're supposedly good. You don't wear a mask anymore at that point. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to switch subjects because Senator Lindsey Graham says, despite AG Barr, I think we do need a special counsel to investigate Hunter Biden. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My concern is, without a special counsel or something like that, the business activity of Hunter Biden, which is all over the world, which doesn't pass the smell test, if it were a Republican, we sure as hell would be looking at it, is going to get swept under the rug. So I'm hoping that somebody at the Department of Justice, before the next administration comes in, if President Trump falls short, will appoint somebody that can outlast the confirmation process that will be in place. It can't be fired.
That is, of course, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina. Now, President Trump's already talked about we need a special counsel, and he's hoping Barr would appoint one to investigate Hunter Biden and also the election fraud issues. A.G. Barr said the other day, I don't see anything that we need to go into a special counsel regarding either one of those things. Well, you just heard Senator Graham say Hunter Biden's business dealings all over the world. We need to know what's going on, because if his daddy is going to be president, we need to know exactly what's going to happen next. Barr at last report not making a change at all. He's going to stay where he is. The only thing he did apparently admit to is that the special counsel he appointed to look into the origins of the Trump-Russian probe, that John Durham is making some good progress. That's what he's saying at this point. And, of course, the Jeff Jensen, the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Missouri, was tapped by the Justice Department back in Feb to review the case of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. He is now helping with Durham's investigation, since Flynn's been pardoned by President Trump as of last month. Trump says we need a special counsel. Now, you do know if he appoints one, the incoming president can yank it out and say we're done. But it might be a little harder in the sense of the public relations image. What do you think? Either way, Senator Graham says we've got to have some answers.
I want somebody to look at all the overseas activity of Hunter Biden, see if it's compromised the foreign policy of President Biden if he gets to be president. And again, his business associates and their business activities were flagged by banks, not some right-wing group, all over the country, saying suspicious activity report because it could be a part of a money laundering scheme. I want somebody to look at that.
I think we should. And I think the point Senator Graham made a moment ago, if it were reversed, you know there'd be a demand from the Democrats to go after Trump or any of the family, even if he's going out of office. It, again, is that hypocrisy thing. But, of course, the other issue here is, too, if his dad is going to end up getting that White House Oval Office, at least even for a short time, we need to know the background of Hunter Biden and all these deals. But I've also told you some on the left, the far, far progressive left, might be very happy to see a special counsel, anybody like that come in. Anything that once Biden takes the oath, they can walk up and say, you're done, you're compromised because of your son, you're out of here. And Kamala is now in your chair. And don't forget, as I mentioned earlier, President Trump, he could still appoint someone. And Sidney Powell, attorney that's been fighting some of his legal cases to try to overturn and investigate fraud, apparently seen leaving the White House. Now, was he bringing her in to talk about fraud investigation? James Carafano coming up next.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDruryLaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We've had our guest on previous times. You always enjoy him. I enjoy hearing from him as well. His expertise and knowledge extensively deep, especially when it comes to the U.S. security and issues. He is the president of Foreign and Defense Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation. James J. Carafano, glad to have you back, James.
Hey, great to be with you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, sir. We definitely say Merry Christmas here. Now, before I've got an article in front of me I know you just published, but I'd like to see if you want to make some remarks about this COVID relief package, $900 billion, 6,000 pages, and I've got a question, what's really in there for COVID relief?
Well, I never comment on anything I haven't read. And I
well, they voted on it without reading it, James. You can do that.
Well, they're way ahead of me. We talked about this, but here's my take on this. What makes America great is not the 1,000-page bills that get passed by Congress. What's really, really important is fighting this disease safely, but getting this country back into the business of being America, getting the American economy up and running again. That is the most important thing. And that's much more important than relief bills because, you know, we're not all wards of the state here. We are a great country, and just let us do our thing, and we will make this country great. And, you know, most of the times I think the best thing government can do is get out of the way. And honestly, I think this is kind of one of them.
Yeah, and to that extent, I was saying earlier, I mean, the $600 is not going to amount to much for even folks who really desperately need it, but if they truly need it, great. But if you open the businesses again, then they will have jobs as opposed to relying, as you said, on something coming from the state, because Rand Paul went off on a real good spiel the other day, yesterday, about all, as you said, wards of the state, we keep this up. So,
you know,
go ahead.
Look, and this is kind of has nothing to do with my expertise, but this is just kind of personal. I mean, they shut down the restaurants in Washington, D.C. You know what? I think, first of all, I know there are lots of waiters that on Christmas Eve could have made a lot more than $600.
Right, right.
And, you know, one of the guys came out from one of the major chains who operate six or seven restaurants. And they've been operating since March. They have not had one case of COVID from a client. Or, you know, at the restaurant or any of the employees. I mean, it's just, where is this coming from? I mean, this is what limited government is all about. When you unleash government on us, this is what you get. I mean, why are they strangling businesses? It'd be different if they were actually fighting the disease, but I don't see any compelling evidence that, you know, people going out and eating distance 12 feet apart is you know, spreading the disease around.
Yeah,
but I think there's a lot of frustration.
And it's got to be a cartoon. I mean, when they tell you can't eat inside the restaurant, but you can eat outside for a while, then, well, of course, the weather comes. Yeah, you can put a tent up, and you can put a heater.
Right.
You can put a heater inside the tent. You can drop the flaps in the way. Now you're dining outside, inside, outside, right?
Right. No. Yeah.
All right, let's get to your article. You titled it, China Lies About Its Wrongdoing, COVID, Spying, Global Aggression, Pollution, and More. And let me begin with a point that Adam Schiff, I think it's Senator Cotton yesterday pointing out that, or maybe I take it back, it's Kevin McCarthy saying, when we were trying to deal with China and some of the other things earlier that we were trying to get some action, Adam Schiff basically stated, China did not have, they were not responsible. They did not have to tell us and inform us about COVID. And I thought, where do you come up with a thought that like that, that they were not going to let us know about it? And he just goes on and accepts it. And China is definitely lying.
Yeah. Well, look, I think gets to actually the core issue we just talked about is government's happy to put their hand in our pocket, tell us how to tie our shoelaces. But if government would get out of our life and let us do our thing, and focus on the thing government is truly responsible for, we'd all be a lot better off. You know, dealing in China is one of them. There's two indisputable facts which the Chinese have lied about since day one. One is they knew that this disease was very contagious. They knew that we really didn't understand a lot how to deal with it. And they hid that fact. And not only did they hide that fact, they let people travel internationally knowing that they would take the disease global. They're absolutely responsible for the global pandemic. If they had been honest about what they knew when they knew it, we would have had months of a head start. And the difference would have been we wouldn't just be rolling out a vaccine now. Most of Americans would have been vaccinated by now. And we would have had testing ready to go long before the disease ever got here. So we would have been isolated at the shores before it actually got in the country.
Well,
everything would have been completely different. And anybody who says it's not China's fault, then they just don't understand, and they're just not willing to face reality, or it's politically inconvenient for them.
There is another big question, and the answer, I think, is very important, although I don't know if we're going to get it. Was it an accident? Was it bioweaponing that got out of control, or was it intended? I mean, look what it's done to our economy and our nation compared to when we began the year.
Well, I don't know the answer to that. You know, the more evidence we get actually suggests that they were just as surprised at this as we were, because as the disease was rolling out, they were telling people, don't talk about it. And so I don't think they intentionally unleashed it. It's very clear that they were hiding this because they couldn't deal with it. And as a Chinese Communist Party, you could not show weakness. You could not show that you were not in control. You could not show that you were the master of the universe. So they were literally hiding how really weak they are. And then once it was unleashed, rather than deal with the disease, how can we exploit this for the benefit of China? How can we make money off of this? How can we make our enemies weaker? How can we embarrass and undermine other people? I mean, it's truly despicable. And then to see people not acknowledge that fact, or only acknowledge it because they, you know, after they think it won't help Trump win re-election, And then even now, we have people in the Biden team who are talking about, look, how can we constructively engage with China?
Yeah.
I mean, here are people that have destroyed lives and cost us tens of billions of dollars, and they're trillions of dollars. And they're asking, how can we work with the Chinese? It's nuts.
And on the inside of that Democrat Party, inside the Intel Committee, has been Congressman Swalwell. And we still don't know the real full story, although yesterday after Kevin McCarthy and he, Pelosi, came out of a meeting with the FBI, he said, based on what we just heard, one, every member of the Intel Committee should hear it, and there is no way Swalwell should have ever been put on the committee.
Well, look, first of all, I don't think McCarthy would have said that. He's not a partisan character. I don't think he would have said that just to score political points. I think that was an honest assessment. I don't know if folks realize, but, you know, the Intel Committee is just not like any other committee. There's a special level of integrity and responsibility in that committee. I mean, they literally have access to the most secret levels of intelligence that, that other members of Congress just don't have access to. Many people in the federal government don't even have access to it. So it's incredibly important because they oversee the entire intelligence community. And it's not just the way, it's not just, okay, let's, we don't know everything that happened, but the way that they have treated this, that the speaker basically has ignored the issue, that the incoming, that the Biden team has ignored the issue, that the whole party in large has, not being appalled, not being outraged, but they just wanted to ignore it and then talk about how, well, the problem really is Trump, and he's been the problem all along, and you know, it just reminds me so much, you know, of people that had to find excuses for Hitler, you know, in the 1930s, right, that they just can't face the evil that they see in front of them and not want to deal with it in a responsible
way.
Well, manner.
And dealing with it, what are we going to, I mean, we're getting, apparently, I mean, this really unveiled how maybe many Chinese spies are not really the number, but how they're definitely trying to get into our country. 400,000 Chinese students come to our country every year, and it's been said, quit giving them all the science and the technical stuff. Let them study English language, but don't let them into some of these classes and pick up this stuff, as they will take it back.
Well, I think this gets to the core issue, is we have to parse what are real threats. From you can't go to a Chinese restaurant. And,
yeah,
and look, we can do that as a country. We did it during the Cold War. You know, we can distinguish a real serious threat, you know, from a Chinese firecracker. So, but we have to be serious about this. And all I hear from our friends, with, you know, Pelosi on down, is that they're not serious. They don't talk about it. They don't address it. Look, I was appalled the other day. There are people that are, you know, advising the Biden team. They said, well, we have to find ways to be constructive with the Chinese. And they said, well, look, we should cooperate on civil space programs.
Hmm.
Well, first of all, China doesn't have a civil space,
right,
program. It's controlled by the military. And NASA is actually barred by law from cooperating with the Chinese in space. The Defense Department is actually barred from having talks with China on space. The fact that people who are advising the Biden administration are basically saying, let's work with the Chinese on space, knowing, I mean, all they will do is they will steal that technology and they will pour it into their military programs. Are people just,
well,
I'm kind of gobsmacked.
I could almost answer that for you. Yes, they are. But in the last 30 seconds, what do you think is going to happen with this if this new administration comes in and relationships with China?
I don't know. They tried this before, being nice to China, and all that did is it made us look weak, and the Chinese exploited that. And we all know Einstein's definition of idiocy. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, then you're an idiot.
James, always glad to have you on board, and again, to you and your family, Merry Christmas, sir.
God bless you, my friend.
You bet. God bless you. James J. Carafano, Heritage Foundation. Yeah, we have too many people that are just willing to accept, oh, China's nice. China's nice. Well, the people are nice. It's the Chinese Communist government that's the issue. And then when it comes to this nation, we've got folks like CNN and others claim that Trump is threatening a 30-day reign of destruction on his way out of office. And Pelosi says, I'm going to pull his hair out. I'll explain when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Uh-huh. is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, as I was telling you earlier in our opening monologue, there was a report that Sidney Powell was seen at the White House. Here's the way it was put out by CNN White House correspondent Jeremy Dimon, tweeting, "Spotted tonight at the White House. Attorney and conspiracy theorist Sidney Powell." You see how they put, she is an attorney, but when they put the label conspiracy theorist on, you got any proof of that, or it's just your belief that she's a conspiracy theorist? You don't have to believe someone. You could have disagreements, but now if you disagree, you're going to call them conspiracy theorists? This is a reporter putting that label on? He should have simply said attorney Sidney Powell, but he just couldn't resist attorney and conspiracy theorist Sidney Powell. "I saw her leaving the resident side of the White House shortly before 9 p.m. She denied meeting with Trump tonight." Now, keep in mind, he just said she left the resident side. And that's where the first family lives. And then he adds, "She denied meeting with Trump tonight. When pressed again, she said, it would be none of your business." Thank you, Sidney. None of his business. No, he's a reporter. He can ask, and she can make the answer she wants. She and I were communicating yesterday about getting her back on the air before the end of the year, and we're looking at this point next week. I'll keep you posted on it. You know, when we had her on the other day, last Friday, and my director, Quentin, decided to take a clip of the interview and just put it up on Facebook, that 90-second clip, I'm looking right now, it shows 194,000 reached by that one clip. So she definitely wants to be back on air with us when she was ignoring some of the others. So I'm glad to have her. We'll let you know details later on. But the resist movement is not giving up at any point. Here's a piece by the CNN Stephen Collinson, an analyst, they call, or an analysis in this part. Good, they're not claiming reporting. And here's the way it begins. This should set everything in motion for you. Joe Biden will be president in 30 days. Until then, the question is how much damage can be done by a vengeful, delusional, soon-to-be ex-president swilling conspiracy theories whose wild anti-democratic instincts are being encouraged by fringe political opportunists. Well, now, that's a mouthful. And again, it's under a listing as a column, an opinion. That's the way it should be. There's not a damn piece of fact in there anywhere other than that Biden will be president in 30 days, and that's under question. But he goes on to talk about that Donald Trump will retain the awesome powers of the presidency until noon January 20. And on Monday, he huddled with a cabal of Republican lawmakers who plan to challenge the election on baseless claims of fraud at a special session of Congress to ratify the results on January 6. You might not believe all the reports of fraud, but you can't say they're baseless. We have had too many people come forward, and even those involved admit, yeah, there were errors. Well, that, if it's not treated properly, is fraud. But they don't want to acknowledge that. And he goes on in his piece talking about Trump can further damage the U.S. in the coming days by aggressive design and passive neglect of his sworn obligations to lead. CNN's Barbara Starr had apparently reported the other day, and is being reported again in this column, that there's concern among executive office staff and the military leadership that Trump could use his power as president and commander in dangerous ways in the last days of his term. And then an officer in the Pentagon, of course not being identified, saying, "We don't know what he might do." And another one being quoted as, "We are in strange times." Do you believe anyone ever said those? Anybody inside the Pentagon, do you think? Well, they might have. They might have. But how many times have they lied to us on the mainstream media and told us they've got sources, and it turns out they don't have a source, they just made it up? I'm looking at this. This piece goes on and on about how Trump is just unhinged, as they say, and how he's going to fight tooth and nail. When I look at all this, I'm thinking this resist movement was born the night when Hillary called and conceded, and Trump came out and said it, and then said, we want to thank her. It's been a tough campaign, and from here on, let's work together. But they were not going to work together, and now they want to tell all Republicans, Trump supporters or whatever, you've got to be conciliatory and nice and so forth, like we were. Like you were, you never have been, and you're not yet. Example here in front of me, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. According to a Politico story published just today, she was in meetings with her leadership team over the weekend, and at one point she said, Nancy Pelosi, I'm counting down the hours till he's gone. I plan to pull him out of there by his hair, his little hands, and his feet. Trump and Pelosi have not spoken for more than a year when she accused him of having a meltdown in that October 2019 meeting. And then, of course, don't forget Nancy standing behind him, ripping up his State of the Union speech. You remember that? Sure we do. And, of course, tried to impeach the president. Yeah, they've got a very loving spirit about them, don't they? When we come back, let's break down this COVID relief package and what's in it. I got to tell you, it's... You've heard about pork inside some bills? This is the whole damn pigsty. Coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.